going to start this morning's talk with just a little quiz. a picture quiz, University Challenge picture quiz. Here we go. Do you recognise this person? Or why I might have put this person up? She is a first of something. First person to be made bishop in the Anglican Communion. Absolutely. Anybody know her name? I didn't know her name either. Her name was Barbara Harris, and she was made bishop in 1989 in the States. What about this one? She was the first, again, a first of something. The black and white gives it away a little bit, so it's some time ago.
It's not Baden
Powell's
wife, is it?
No, it's not. No. It's got something to do with politics. No, it's not. Although, very good guess. Nancy Astor was the first woman MP who took a seat in the Commons. This is the first woman who actually was elected to the Commons but refused to take her seat because she was representing Sinn Féin. So she was elected to a seat in Dublin. So she was actually the first MP back in 1918. Her name was Constance Markovich. Well done, the first woman in space, the first astronaut. She was first woman astronaut, Valentina Tereshkova from Russia. The clue is behind her. Yeah, the first woman to climb Everest. And then she was a Japanese lady called Junko Tambai. She did this in 1975, so not that long ago. And then finally, more up to date. Talked a lot about she heads up an enormous service which she is the chief exec of the NHS, Amanda Pritchard, and she is the first woman to be appointed as a chief exec of the NHS. They're all firsts for these ladies. And on Friday, as you know, we celebrated World Women's Day. You probably were aware of that. And today, as Heather's mentioned, is Mothering Sunday. And we're going to be thinking a little bit this morning about the role of women in society and the church. And we know that during the 20th and the 21st century, we've seen, in the UK particularly, a huge shift in the role and standing of women. And arguably, there's still a long way to go as well. But today, I'd like to offer you just a little flavour of what perhaps the Bible says about the roles of women and men, but more generally build on what Heather was talking about last week, for those who were there last week, and we had those jigsaw pieces that we put together, to explore how every individual piece of the jigsaw complements the whole, and just to think in those kind of ways. Now, all of you know that the biblical text that we have, the Bible that we read from, the readings that we have this morning, were written between 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, a long time ago. And inevitably, they were written within a context and written to a particular people who had challenges which were very peculiar to them. And that's really important just to note that. So they were written to people of their time. And our challenge today is how do we interpret those ancient texts for the present day? Now, for example, there are people, and they're still around, you probably find them in the States as well, who take every word of the Bible as being accurate and true, despite scientific discoveries proving that the world wasn't created in 6 days. There are also others who, in my view, can be a little bit lazy as well, and take text to evidence their particular view on something, and ignore other texts which say something that is actually contrary. One really interesting example of that is the whole debate that happened a number of years ago about women in leadership. I've always tried to travel what I suspect is the harder path, where you value the Bible, you value its authority and its ground for living a really good life, whilst grappling with the context they were written and the context we now find ourselves. And that is a hard job to do, because that's what we're all trying to do. We have a text which is wonderful to read, stories which encourage us and take us forward. Yet, what relevance do they have? How do we transport what's said there to today? So when it comes to the roles of men and women, of course, the Bible reflects the time when the texts were written. In general, you'll find a patriarchal way of operating within the Old and the New Testaments. That was how life was there. Men were dominant. That's, apart from a few instances, that's the kind of society they were in. But there were glimpses where those social norms, as we call them, were challenged. Jesus was interesting. He was key. Now, in our gospel today, the healing of the woman who was crippled of disease, he used the phrase of that woman, and it's the only time in the Bible this phrase is used of a woman, the daughter of Abraham. It's not used anywhere else. A really, really interesting phrase, because what he did was brought women who were considered at that particular time second-class citizens up to the level of everybody else. He viewed them as equal as to any man who might be around. Generally, they were second-class citizens, but for Jesus, women were centre stage. You know that from just reading the pages of the Gospel. He valued women. They were around him. They were the people who stood with him at the cross, etc., etc. They were the people who, after the resurrection, were there. And Paul, interestingly, is also religious, because generally speaking, people see him as a traditionalist, where in the matter of women and men, particularly in the matter of women and men, he would have sort of taken on the mores of a particular time. He would have said, you know, men are the leaders here. But actually, there are glimpses, even in Paul, where this is not actually so. And interestingly, in the early growing early church, women are leaders, they're prophets, they're teachers. And he also writes in Galatians that all were equal before God. That's how he viewed them. So it's really interesting that the Holy Spirit seem to ignore, even at that time, some of societal and religious customs that were around. So it's really important just to see that the glimpses of what actually were happening then. Of course, we then know in the 2,000 years that developed from then, the way that the church operated was inherently patriarchal again. And it's only in the last 50 years or so things have begun to change, and we've seen a revolution, I think, in both society and the church has followed, where there is more inclusiveness. What I'd like to do, in terms of thinking from that, in terms of, well, okay, that may be really very interesting. How do we think about applying that for today? How do we make sense of that? So in the application that I'd like to do and think with you today, I'd like us to be inclusive and think not just about women, but also all of us here. So really, really important. So, first thing, each of us should use the gifts that God has given us. That's really important. Use the gifts we have been given. In our reading from Ephesians, Paul said, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has it." All of us have been given gifts and strengths for the benefit of others. Men, women, children, we all have those strengths. The Ephesians passage talks of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Paul, when he was writing to the Romans, talks about the gifts of serving, encouraging, giving, leading, and showing mercy. Do you know, I heard as when I was leader of various churches throughout my sort of life, people would come to me and say, I really don't know what my gifts are. I don't know what my strengths are. I've never really been, I've never really had the opportunity to think about that. And that's true, isn't it? But there are people who do lack huge confidence out there. There's a little exercise which I sometimes do with people, if I'm doing one-on-ones, but I can do it with you as a group this morning, that can help to open this up a bit more. I'd like you to think of someone who you admire. It could be anybody. Think of somebody you admire. It could be somebody who's alive or somebody who is actually dead. It doesn't really matter. But somebody who you admire. You got somebody in mind? Doesn't matter who it is, as I say. You don't need to tell me. Just keep it to yourself, okay? And then think about what it is that you admire about them. What are the qualities that you admire about that person? What are the attributes? What is it that you admire about them? And you'd probably be able to list one or two things. So just hold those in your mind. Just for a moment or two. Just give me a moment just to hold them. Now, some of you will have heard of the principle of projection, where we attribute bad things to others that belong to us. So the faults we find irritating, for example, in others, are often the ones that we're guilty of ourselves, so we project them onto other people. Now, the same principle could be used in a positive way. So the good things that we see in others can actually be just a sign of something of what's actually innate within us that we've never actually brought to the surface. And actually, when I do this with people, they suddenly realise, Penny sometimes drops in, oh yeah, there are things in there in me which I've never really taken forward. Do you see what I mean? Are you understanding where I'm coming from on this? So I don't know what it was your attributes were, but as you were looking at the positive attributes in others, may well be things that actually lodge innately in you, which you don't use. So that's just an interesting one. So each person, firstly, should use the gifts and strengths that God has given them, and to bring those out. And maybe we need to encourage each other to bring those things out. Then secondly, each person should celebrate that they are God's work of art. This is an interesting phrase that's used by Paul in Ephesians in the chapter, a couple of chapters before the one that was read to us. The actual words are often used, or we are God's workmanship, but actually literally it means we are God's work of art. There's that lovely psalm, is that 139 I think it is, where the psalmist talks that we are wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully made. And just to bear that in mind as we think of the fact that we've got to work with art. And that leads me on from the previous point, that each of us, because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, because we've got to work with art, we have got something to give to the whole. We've got something to give to others. The little small jigsaw piece that we were given last week seems small and insignificant. As soon as we put that jigsaw piece into the, and it's still on the table at the back actually, as soon as we put them into the puzzle there, the whole is then seen and how important that is. And then finally, each person is different and we celebrate difference. That's the other thing that I'd like to think about today. We're all different in this building today, in this church. All of us come from different views. We're men, we're women, we're older, we're younger, we hold different political views, we support different football teams, whatever it is, we're all very, very different. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks of the church as a body, as he does in the Ephesians, which we just had read to us. And just as the body consists of various parts, all working together to achieve different things, we as Christians, from whatever our background, our skin colour, our age, our preference, are encouraged to unite to achieve what God wants of us. And I think this is something, you know, that we can really model to a society which is increasingly becoming polarised. I so struck recently, or well, not recently, over recent years really, about just how polarised we are becoming. Jan and I listen regularly to a podcast. I don't know if others of you listen to this one. It's where two kind of ex-politicians, really, or advisors, talk about the issues of today. And the person is Rory Stewart, who used to be a Tory cabinet minister, and Alistair Campbell, who was an advisor to Tony Blair years and years ago. And they come from different poles in the spectrum. But what strikes us when we listen to it is how well they listen to one another. Where they agree, they agree. Where they disagree, they do that in a really in a spirit that is helpful and conciliatory. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's a good model of how we could be. And also, just this last week, there was on the telly, there was two others. One is a current politician, Jess Phillips, MP, Labour MP for Birmingham, in one of the Birmingham seats. And Ruth Davidson, who used to be the leader of the Scottish Conservatives, who's no longer does that. But again, they're doing a Sky podcast. And just listening to them, again, coming from very different viewpoints, but trying to work together on what can we do together to improve the lot of people. And I'm just thinking, yeah, that's possibly the way to go. But as a church, that is one thing we can be doing. And that's what that's what Jesus is encouraging us to do from these readings today, to actually be unified, yes, disagree where we need to disagree, but actually do that in such a way that we can still love one another and move forward and become an example to a society out there. So we do need some positive working together, and the disparate people in this building, this church, who share a common faith can make a difference. So let us then, as it says there, use the gifts we've been given. Let's celebrate that we are God's work of art and celebrate the differences, because differences don't have to divide. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you have brought us all together, that your Holy Spirit doesn't differentiate. Your Spirit just touches people of every age, of creed, of colour, draws us into that kingdom which is full of lovely different individuals. And thank you that you bring those individuals together to create a body of Christians who can be of real service to the world outside. Gracious God, enable us to do that more and more in this church, that we can make a difference, for Jesus' sake.